Now, the rest of the story. During the first 5 years of this century, hundreds of young American men died, not in wars, not from disease, but they died playing football. I mean hundreds of casualties on the football playing field. Well, the reasons were clear. For one, protective gear was not what it is today. And then, of course, the game itself was infinitely more violent. In 1905, there was one brutal contest between Harvard and Yale, and that bloody confrontation almost marked the end of football in the United States altogether. Yet just when it appeared as though the sport itself was dead, one man stepped forward, one man single-handedly, to revive it because of his unqualified love for football. And so, the sport was saved. As each year progressed from the turn of this century, our nation became increasingly anti-football. Those who opposed the sport could hardly be blamed because hundreds of young men were being killed on football fields. Practically speaking, something had to be done. In 1905, Harvard, Yale, and Princeton were the so-called Big Three. Such was their influence nationally that if just one of those three colleges were to quit playing football, many or most of 300 other colleges would likely give up the game. Dr. Charles Eliot was the president of Harvard. He was in the vanguard of those who opposed the sport. And it was an incident involving the Harvard team which gave him the excuse he required. A slugfest was what it was. A game between Harvard and Yale full of punching and kicking and biting and stomping. Now listen, in those fledgling days, football eye gouging was tolerated. Linemen might temporarily blind opposing linemen by spitting tobacco juice. It was an anything-goes sport, and anything went. Immediately following the Harvard-Yale melee, Dr. Eliot announced that there would be no more football at Harvard. Never, ever again. Members of the board and faculty backed him up. At Harvard, at least, the violence was over for good. And then, just as Yale was about to concur, somebody spoke up. He was an alumnus of Harvard. He, of all people, deplored the extent to which football had degenerated. He agreed that drastic measures were in order, but not, he insisted, not the altogether banning of football forever. If Harvard kicked the props out from under football, the other teams would surely collapse. Such, remember, was the then prestige of Harvard. So this one man offered a suggestion. What if all of the teams got together and made a gentleman's game of football? What if they all met at one university and mutually laid down the law? And at his suggestion, they did. December 28, 1905, the representatives of 62 colleges held a conference at New York University. 15 days later, the American Intercollegiate Football Rules Committee was born. American football, in its darkest hour, had been saved because one man just could not picture our nation without it. For one thing, that one man could not bring himself to disappoint his own son. For his own son was then playing on the Harvard team. And the man who intervened, this man who single-handedly saved football in 1905, was also the then president of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt. And now, you know the rest of the story.